This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick. Take a break now from the rat race. Listen to this next report. Here it is. Since the era of the great Roman physician Galen, doctors have been saying that stress is bad for you. That may sound obvious, but until the last few years, there really wasn't much scientific evidence to explain why. Now, as Frank Browning reports, researchers are examining specific blood and hormone factors to learn how stress can lead to major medical problems.
Last summer, Dana Smith changed jobs and moved to a quiet resort town on Northern California's Russian River.
I was with some friends that night and said, Jesus, you know, I had the roof off on the car today. I burnt my head. And the next day, it got worse. By the third day, the blisters were about as big as the end of my pinky, and I decided, well, I'll go to the doctors.
And the doctors had bad news. Dana didn't have sunburn. He had a severe outbreak of shingles, a form of herpes called zoster.
The pain was excruciating. Where it follows a nerve pattern, it had spread down from the crown of my head all the way down the back of my neck. And it was like little needles just going off everywhere.
Most of us have the herpes zoster virus in our bodies. It's the same one that causes childhood chickenpox. But after childhood, it tends to become latent, to go to sleep, held in check by our immune systems.
The central question in understanding herpes viruses is what causes the virus to exit latency?
Steve Coles studies viral diseases like herpes and HIV at the Center for Psychoimmunology at UCLA.
One of the themes that's emerged is that pathogens appear to listen to our body in much the same way that our own cells listen to the signals released by our system during periods of stress or alternatively during periods of happiness and quiescence.
Viruses don't just pop into our bloodstreams and start eating up our cells. They play a kind of hide-and-seek, hunkering down to avoid our immune attack cells, like the T-cells that became well-known in AIDS work, and then waking up when the immune system seems to be off guard or in retreat. That's what happened to Dana Smith when he changed jobs and, for the first time in his life, started running a stressful new business and had to answer to his investment partners.
I went back to work after 2 weeks off, and with being back to work about 5 days, I started blistering again. I wouldn't be stressed until I would get here, and then it would happen.
Each time the stresses built up, the herpes zoster flourished, which is typical. At UCLA, Steve Cole and his colleagues wanted to know how it is that stress rings a wake-up call for the herpes virus. They started looking at two chemicals produced by the body's autonomic nervous system during periods of high stress, epinephrine and norepinephrine. Both are forms of adrenaline associated with the normal fight-or-flight response to danger, chemicals that help us to step quickly to dodge an oncoming car or strike back fiercely when we are attacked. The problem comes when, under continuous stress, we keep on producing high doses of epinephrine. For example, Cole found that very timid HIV-positive men who were afraid of having their homosexuality exposed, who feared being outed, were far more likely to get AIDS and die than were outgoing extroverted men.
The people who were shy, sensitive introverts hadn't been infected for any longer. They didn't seem to be infected with drug-resistant viruses. But what they did have is all these indications that their autonomic nervous system was more active on a regular basis than were those of the extroverts.
And they had 10 times the level of virus in their blood as the extroverted individuals did. In short, how we experience the world around us, how we manage and let go of stress, affects not only how we fight infectious viruses, but also those very stress hormones also seem to help out the invasive viruses, leaving us doubly susceptible to disease.
If we think about things differently, if we perceive them differently, that's going to result in different hormonal circumstances inside our body. It's going to alter the profile of neurotransmitters and hormones that are present in our body, and that itself is going to change not only the way our body works, but the way the pathogens inside our body work.
It's not just AIDS patients we're talking about either. Researchers across the country are discovering that many diseases and even some cancers also appear to get worse under prolonged stress. Consider herpes zoster or shingles. All of us, after age 60, become more susceptible to developing shingles as our chickenpox immunity wears out. But Michael Irwin, also at UCLA, has shown that stress and depression also severely suppress immunity to shingles.
And in fact, individuals that are middle-aged that are depressed have declines of their shingles immunity as if they're 30 years older. So it's as if there's a premature aging of the immune system of the depressed people.
Since there are no treatments to prevent shingles, Irwin wondered if regular stress reduction exercises might boost shingles immunity. He took 36 elderly men and women and broke them into two groups. One went through 15 weeks of Tai Chi Tra exercises. The other group was placed on a wait list. And then their herpes zoster immune responses were measured.
The people that received the Tai Chi Cha had about a 50% increase in their shingles immunity, whereas there was no change in shingles immunity in the individuals that were assigned to the wait list.
My feet are shoulder-width apart. I kind of sink down from the hips into the knees.
3 times a week, Gani Dixon goes to a neighborhood park near her house in Culver City, California, to perform Tai Chi.
My feet are planted firmly on the ground, and I'm visualizing bubbling springs at the bottom of my feet.
Gani Dixon started Tai Chi 3 years ago, not because she suffers shingles, but because her doctor thought it might help reduce dangerously high blood pressure that even medications weren't controlling.
My blood pressure became uncontrollable, even with medication, and I ended up in the hospital for several days before the doctors could decrease the pressure enough for me to go home.
And how's your blood pressure now?
It's very well. It's being managed very well with Tai Chi, and I do take some medication, but not nearly the amount of medication I was taking when I was working. So it lessens the stress. I think that's one of the things that Tai Chi does for me.
Indeed, researchers at UCLA, University of Iowa, Stanford, Rockefeller University, and elsewhere are looking at how stress may affect a wide gamut of medical problems. Ron Glaser at Ohio State has been looking at one very highly stressed set of people, elderly family members who care for Alzheimer's patients. To measure the effects, he focused on a chemical called interleukin-6, a hormone that naturally increases as we age.
And in this particular case, that's not good. Increased levels of IL-6 in older individuals have been linked to several diseases, including certain forms of cancer, like chronic lymphocytic leukemia, arthritis, diabetes, and frailty, just to cite some examples, and cardiovascular disease.
Glaser chose 225 people, half of whom were caregivers, and half of whom, the so-called controls, were not. The caregivers turned out to have 4 times the level of IL-6 in their blood as the controls.
The people who were caregiving had IL-6 levels when they were average age 75, to levels of interleukin-6 seen in the controls when they were in their 90s. Now think about that. What that was telling us was that the stress of caregiving seemed to be resetting their immune system and aging their immune system.
More disturbing still, their immune systems did not recover even 3 years after they had given up their caregiving responsibilities. Not only did prolonged stress age them and make them more susceptible to disease, the effects of that kind of stress seem to be permanent. For NPR News, I'm Frank Browning.